You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week are Sam Claiborne.
Hey, I've chosen to be welcomed this week. It's a pleasure.
Justin Davis.
Scoop.
And we've looped in Pear Schneider to join us this week. Thank you
for joining
Pear. Pear Schneider on the street with live traffic updates. Pear, yeah. How's the parking looking out there?
It's a mess out here.
The Nimitz Freeway is backed up to the over. I don't know what they call these things.
We've got quite a setup here. I'm in our LA office. Pear is in our San Francisco office. Sam is at home in San Francisco, and Justin is at his home in Iowa. So we're just spread out. Got a little bit of everywhere this week. We've got a great show for you. We're gonna be sharing our picks for old school Nintendo games that haven't gotten a sequel or forever or in a long time. Classic Nintendo games we'd like to see a sequel for. And keeping with the Nintendo theme, we're gonna flip through a little interesting footnote in Nintendo's history. This being a new month, we've got an interesting little magazine pamphlet to flip through. But first,
I hope it's Pack Watch from 1989.
Close, actually.
Close. Okay, cool.
But first, I'd like to share a little anecdote before we begin. Last weekend, I was in Santa Barbara with my family, and there's a children's science museum there called the Moxie, which is very cool. If you have kids and you're ever in the Santa Barbara area, I totally recommend it. They have a giant pachinko machine where you turn this crank and like a softball size bouncy ball will shoot 50 feet up in the air and bounces around and the pegs all light up as it bounces down. I was like, this is awesome.
Cool.
They have a giant guitar that's like the size of a room with strings you can pluck and it like makes your body vibrate. So it's like cool, cool stuff like that. But they had one room for video games. And most of the video games are still along the sort of educational route. They had a working pinball machine made out of Legos, which is cool. Mm.
Whoa,
and then they had this
awesome.
Kinect-like game that was like a Tron Light Cycle-like, where you use your hands to make the bikes turn corners. So it's like stuff like that. However, they had two traditional video game setups as well. They had a kiosk on the wall, and then they had a sit-down cocktail table with controls on either end. And the games that were available to play were it's in a museum, a science museum. You'd think these games have been selected. They've been curated and are there for a reason. But I was completely baffled by the games that were on display. So the standing up kiosk was the Game Gear version of Galaga 91.
Cool.
What?
Wow. Okay.
So not the original arcade Galaga, although that probably would have been a good pick, and not even the original Galaga. The Game Gear port of Galaga 91 is what has been selected.
What hardware?
Great.
I imagine it's just like an emulator, just like RetroPie behind there, but like there's no way for the player to access it and switch games. So how is that the game that's just on display? And then the other one, the sit-down cocktail table, was Super Bubble Bobble MD, which is an unlicensed Mega Drive game that wasn't even released in North America by like a Taiwanese, it was a Taiwanese copy of Bubble Bobble for the Mega Drive.
I think somebody there is a Game Scoop 20 questions fan.
Oh my God.
And then the way it was set up is that, you know, the controls are on either side of the table, but the screen was like rotated, not facing either player. So to move your character left and right, you had to push up and down on the joystick.
It was hundreds and hundreds of people that go to that museum and said, well, I guess this is video games. This is what they are.
And one of them is going to write us with a 20 question suggestion and say, this used to be my favorite redacted at redacted. And the answer is going to be my favorite video game to play with my family at the Moxie.
So otherwise, a very cool museum, and I recommend it.
Did you talk to the manager? Did you say, I'd like to speak to the manager, please?
I'd like to speak to the manager here, please.
You can't do that.
This is not Bubble Bobble.
What's that, Justin?
Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off. I had a similar anecdote that happened to me this weekend. Not that similar, but a little bit similar.
Lay it on us.
We were wandering around and we found that there was a barcade. I guess you're not allowed to say barcade. Brewcade. Barcade is trademarked. There was a brewcade and Sunday is family day. And so, you know, we took our kids. We said, let's all go. We'll get them some tokens. They play some arcade games.
Low ABV beers.
We got some kid sized beers for them. It was great. two anecdotes. One is that it was their first real exposure to like arcade games, and it was horrible because they play like they put some money into Street Fighter 2 and just instantly got bodied, and it was over in like 20 seconds. And I was like, well, that was your 50 cents. Like, they're gone. I'm sorry. Like, so there was that. Although they did have a fun time with pinball, like, it was wholesome overall. But then the other thing was they had one of those, the things that push the tokens are quarters forward and you drop one in a slot and then it pushes it forward. And then you always think like a million of them are about to fall and then they never fall because it's a scam. No. And like my 8-year-old, like legit, like she was completely, she's like, no, I just got to put it. It's like, dad, I just got to put in one more, one more.
Now
dad,
you know.
Like they're all going to fall. And then I had to like literally like drag her away. I'm like, no more. And then this is true. She's like, okay. She's like, I'm done. Like, dad, I'm done. And then she lunged for the thing to put in like one more. And then I had to drag her to there. She's like, but I still have four tokens. I could put them in. I could win. And I'm like, no, you're like, we'll go back another time, like save those tokens and you can play some games the next time you go.
Give me your keys. We gotta go home.
So we learned something about that one's personality on that trip where it's like, okay, good to know. That is something we're going to have to keep an eye on.
Nope. No Genshin Impact for that one.
Yeah, no Genshin Impact. Keep her away from the slot machines in the Denver airport in a few years.
Yeah.
Well, We would be remiss if we didn't mention the other big arcade appearance this week, which was in The Last of Us, which featured an arcade that worked perfectly after turning on a Switch to power them all on after 20 years, which I was really impressed by. That means somebody had done a really nice job with cat kits right before shutdown.
Yeah.
And they were all in really good shape to be turned on.
There was some, for a show based on video games and that sticks so close to one video game, there were some problems with that version of Mortal Kombat they were running there. The token sounds were not right.
Oh, is that true?
Mm.
I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah. Why? Maybe they got it. Maybe they got it from the Moxie.
I think they're pulling off those fatalities a little too easily for people that had never played the game before.
Unless they're on a piece of like post-it paper, like they were in the arcade that I went to right next to them.
Yeah.
If that were real life, it would have been like you would have ducked and jumped and then punched him in the groin instead of doing the fatality.
100%. Our producer on this show, Mariah, had asked me earlier this week, would those games actually turn on? And the real answer is that in 2002, when I think that it is 2003 or something, I remember reading when I was first restoring video game arcade machines, a website, like an old GeoCities website. It was like, if you find a Pac-Man machine that's working, and this was 20 years after Pac-Man came out, right? 2002. Today, it's a miracle. You did sometimes, though. And it's just because of mainly monitor components. There's also capacitors, which go bad on the game boards, but nothing compared to a monitor, which just, they have shelf lives. Like, all of electronics from that era can be fixed. You have to replace certain parts that just, although they still have batteries in them that ruin them, by the way. Games that have saves of any sort are just getting ruined if you leave the batteries in them. Take your batteries out of your vintage controllers, by the way. If you have Wii remotes in your table in the living room right now, take the batteries out of those. It won't only just destroy them, but it'll destroy other things.
Get the batteries out of all that stuff. Take them out of your old GBA.
Yeah. But my prediction was that three of those games would work perfectly at that arcade. All of them would turn on and light up. There'd be smoke from some of them. And monitors would mainly not work. That's my prediction. Pinball would probably be fine.
Maybe that could be a sort of a, maybe you can be a arcade consultant to the film and television industry.
Yeah, for post-apocalypse.
I will say the mix of games in there, there weren't really a lot of retro arcades at the time until bar arcades came around. So that was unusual because it was so good. That mix of games in the arcade was really good. It was like a California Extreme slice of life, which
that probably
had,
would have
like,
been the best arcade in the world,
games all over.
Or at least outside of Japan at that time.
Yeah, at that time. And then they had pins, and their pins, I think, were the new reissues of Medieval Madness and Attack from Mars, but still very good games. And they look exactly the same as the Williams ones. I'll have to look really close to see if they were the Chicago gaming ones from recent represses. Yeah, I love that selection of games. Anyway, when are we going to start the show?
Let's go ahead and start the show now.
Welcome to GameScoop, everybody.
We begin this week with our recurring segment, Real Mature Video Games. And Pear, this is a segment where I've selected some upcoming M-rated games, and I'm going to read off the ESRB descriptions of the content that earned them their M rating, and we'll see if you can guess it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I always start, I sort of reverse it, because the description starts out very specific. You would guess it right away if I started reading from the top. So I read from the bottom, it's much more generic. So anyway, first game. This is an upcoming M-rated game. Let's see if we can figure this one out. In this game, a handful of characters are depicted smoking joints or marijuana, sometimes amid bongs and ashtrays decorated with marijuana leaves. The F word,
this is that new Kirby game.
An a-hole word can be heard in the dialogue.
Oh, not an a-hole word.
The game contains
some
suggestive material, like revealing outfits, close-up camera angles of deep cleavage, dialogue such as, he's a great musician, really good at fingering. And if you must have sex at 3 in the morning, please can you refrain from moaning and screaming quite so loudly?
Is this that game that stars Chuck Norris and
Trejo and everybody?
It is not. Crime City Rock-A or something?
Rock-A City
it's
or
such
something.
A weird
Crime
City. Boss, it's not
Crime
that
Boss
game,
Rock-A City.
Crime Boss Rock-A City, yeah. Cutscenes depict instances of intense violence, a man's skull crushed by a redacted. A redacted stabbed in the eye. A redacted tearing itself apart, lunging towards player's screen.
What? How does this jive with all the music stuff from before? I don't get it.
Yeah,
it's bats, machetes, swords, and axes to hack at redacted.
Well, that's
Redfall?
Definitely...
It's not Redfall.
Redfall.
Not Redfall.
Oh.
That would be really salty if it was Redfall. I'd be surprised.
There are large blood splatter effects and dismemberment and decapitation. Players also use shotguns, machine guns, and unconventional weapons like car batteries, which we've just established are dangerous.
Wow. Sounds like a Dead Rising reboot.
And there isn't a Saints Row coming out? Is it Dead Island 2?
Dead Island 2.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
This is
unconventional weapons.
Shooter, yeah, in which players assume the role.
This is the most I know about this game, right? Because it's like, I didn't realize it was going for the extreme comedy. Now I know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. This series has always been like that. It was only that very first trailer that tried to make it seem like this was a serious game.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think it was a serious game. I just didn't know it was that real immature video games.
Yeah.
That trailer from 12 years ago.
Yep.
I mean, I was joking. It may have actually have been about that long ago.
It is really long ago. It was awesome, the backwards rewind one.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
It was really cool at the time.
Yep.
Okay, Dead Island 2, that one's out in April. And I have one more this episode. This is actually a game that's already out. It was recently released, fairly recently released. In this game, player's character can engage in a drinking game, attempting to keep their hand steady while consuming Redacted. The F word and S word appear in the game. The game contains some suggestive material, a mini game depicting the player in their underwear shooting a heart as moaning sounds are heard.
This is all in Red Dead so far.
So
combat is highlighted by gunfire, screams of pain, and large blood splatter effects.
Like a dragon?
Like a dragon. Ishin like a dragon, yes. I redacted the sake, consuming sake. I thought that would give it away.
Yeah, that's great.
And I did not realize when I picked this, I didn't realize this game is already out.
Yeah, just came out.
Okay, yes, like a dragon, Ishin like a dragon, which is a game I did not even realize was out. It came out a couple weeks ago. IGN reviewed it, but I haven't heard anybody talk about it. Is it, Justin, you're kind of like our Yakuza expert. Is this one going to get like... ignored, lost?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's super cool, and like I encourage you to read IGN's review and see if it's for you. It's definitely a game that's made its way onto my backlog, but it's a remake of an older Yakuza spinoff. So, you know, it's not essential playing in terms of the lore and the canon of those games. So I feel like it's very skippable. I feel like they're treading water until the next big mainline Yakuza comes out. But it's got a whole big elaborate farming minigame in it, so I am on board.
Cool.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. 1 in 5 Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, that was real mature video games. Next up, I wanted to make sure everyone is aware there's a cool new game on Apple Arcade. Is everyone aware?
What is it?
Castle
Crumble. Well, we got tweeted at about it. Yeah.
Castle Crumble. Yeah, someone did
Angry Birds like.
It is an Angry Birds like. Mm-hmm. It's the game is all there in the name. You have to shoot cannonballs at castles and make them crumble. Sam is kind of like a first person Rampart in that respect.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, this is the game. It's great.
Ooh.
It's got very satisfying as you make the castles fall down, and it's in Apple Arcade right now, so if you subscribe, you have access to it right away. I think it's a little on the easy side, even though it's enjoyable. I gave it to my 3.5-year-old son last night, and in like 10 or 15 minutes, he was on like level 30. So definitely not the most challenging game, but fun and cool and satisfying. It's a Damien game.
Well, Castle Crumble Star Wars should be pretty fun.
Castle Crumble Star Wars would be great. There are castles. Maz has a castle in Force Awakens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Darth Vader's got his castle on Mustafar or whatever that planet's called.
Yeah, for sure.
Looks good. I was going to say, it's not a great time for mobile games right now because we're seeing companies go through the motions of just updating every Endless Runner template with Tomb Raider and Little Big Planet and all of that, and we're just getting crap right now.
Is that what that new Tomb Raider is? Like Tomb Raider Reloaded?
It's just an Endless Runner. Yep. Yeah.
Not the Lara Croft we were looking for. Okay.
No.
I have dug up something from my past, mine and Nintendo's past. When The Wizard was released in theaters, Nintendo provided everyone a little pamphlet called Pocket Power, and I found it here.
Cool.
And I absolutely had this at one point because my grandpa took me and my sister to see The Wizard, and I remember coming home with this. So this is basically a little, it's just an advertisement for Nintendo games that are available at the time. Yeah, so I wanted to point this out. I wanted to point it out. This is the inside cover. It's an ad for Jell-O Pudding Pops, but I don't, like so many ads of this time, it doesn't make any sense. It says, look what everyone wants.
Yeah, it's just a design showcase. It's like, look how modern and crazy this design is. And it would have looked really cool at the time.
This ad has layers because you see reflection in the sunglasses and you can see that the pudding pop is flying out of the game.
Yeah.
Out of a video game?
Yeah. Into this.
Because of that green man.
Yeah, it's the green Hulk guy. Like, he even has purple pants. Look.
This kid is not even playing an Atari. I mean, this is obviously like an Atari 2600 game, not an NES game.
Maybe red pants.
Yeah, but zoom out a little bit, Tom.
These are great sunglasses.
Look what everyone wants. It doesn't make any sense. And why are there these red arrows going down the middle of his face?
It's marketers who have heard of video games. They're like, this will connect with the kids.
Designy, though. I think it's cool. I think it's neat that Jell-O frozen snacks were a sponsor of the Nintendo World Championships, as it says at the bottom here.
Should we put all four words, look what everyone wants, together? No. Put one of them way off in a different spot.
One of them all the way off. That, and the torn paper is part of the ad. That's not part of the issue, too. It's just to make it look more extreme. Yeah. On the contents page, you can see that the editor-in-chief is Gail Tilden. Long time.
Yeah. And this layout is 100% Nintendo Power.
I know. It just,
like
this just looks
88
like
88 to 92.
Yeah. This just looks like Nintendo Power. Gil started up Nintendo Power. And then the senior editors, one of them is Howard Phillips for this issue. And then they have editors.
Was this the format of a Nintendo Power? Or was
no.
it just pocket size?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the idea?
See, it's called Pocket Power.
It was like a program at the movie.
Yeah. And then the designers were all Japanese, which is also very common, at least in the early Nintendo Powers. A lot of the design and the writing was coming from Japan.
Look at that. It's good luck, Dan Housen.
Really?
That's the voice of Star Fox's good luck.
Wait.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Under where? Oh, in one of the editors? Wow.
Under the editors, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And George from Seinfeld.
emergency.
I don't know why some of these games and the contents have gotten like bigger formats. Like, why is the Chess Master so big? That game was not going to go on to be a hit.
But it was probably out this month.
Yeah, that probably was. This is 1990, by the way. There's a whole profile on The Wizard and how it was a big deal that when they brought Super Mario Brothers 3 on set. No one on set had seen the game before, of course. They have a profile on Fred Savage, star of the movie. And then if you go to page 6, Tom, this is the the collectibles, the merchandise that you can order for the wizard. It's the page before this, Tom. Oh, well, okay. I'll put it up in post. But what's cool, there's all this different merch. T-shirts, lunchbox, a sports bottle, man. And then Sam, an arcade change case. It's like this big. It's quarter size. You can just hold your quarters in it. And it's blue and it says the wizard on it.
All right. I'm looking right now on eBay.
I was going to say.
That's great.
I was going to ask, how many change cases do you keep on your person at all times, Sam?
Yeah, exactly. I work with a person that like oversees, like, well, I don't work with him, but like when I'm at Free Gold Watch, the worker there, for a while, he was carrying around one of those vintage change belts that had like a thing that could pop quarters out of it, like on his belt.
Yeah.
It was the coolest thing.
Those are cool.
Like it was like a metal chunk and you'd go ching, 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 and like quarters come out. It was great.
Yeah. There's the previous page. There's a promotion for the Nintendo World Championships 1990. I went to one of these. I don't know if it was that year or if it was 91 or whatever, but it came to Kansas City, and that was really cool. But the only thing here, they don't tell you what games are going to be there in the competition. When I went, it was like Tetris and Super Mario Brothers and Rad Racer, I want to say.
Hmm.
And then they just
That's awesome that you went to one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Very cool. They just have advertisements for a bunch of games. DuckTales, RoboCop, you know, the very kid-friendly R-rated film, RoboCop.
But like all the ads, when you're a kid, it's the exact same as the editorial content. You don't care.
Oh, I know. Dragon Warrior, NES Play Action Football, which is an awesome, this is page 12, Tom. This is an awesome, did you ever play this one, Sam? It's a football game.
I knew it because I think this is the one that uses the four-player Kinect, right? Or
yes.
Maybe this is before that.
Yeah, which is the ad on the next page, the NES Satellite. I played a lot of this with my dad. He's a big football fan. And it's got a cool, it's a bird's eye view, but the field is like diagonal. So you run, you run diagonally up and down the screen. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cinematic.
Whole ad for the NES Satellite. Oh, go back to that satellite, Tom. I just feel like that it feels so off-brand for the NES, the logo. It's that same, on the device, it's that same font, but it's red, like you would expect on the NES. But this, like, pink and yellow looks so weird.
So cool.
More games are on
the device. The device is so NES, though.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like it's line-of-sight wireless, which is the worst thing ever at the time.
Yeah. I wonder why it was wireless. Just make one more cable going to the console, right?
It was just hip.
Cool. It's cool.
They made one that was wired.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah, there's two iterations of the four-player setup. This is the satellite that didn't have the wire. Then they had I think it was called the four-player Kinect. I have to look it up. There's a whole issue of Nintendo Power about it. It was the most boring issue.
It was definitely the age where any sort of remote or IR control was just the coolest thing ever. Remember, when I was a kid, we had to get off the couch and turn a dial to change the channel. That's right.
A couple of games I'm sure Sam is familiar with. Wheel of Fortune Jr. and Jeopardy Jr.
Yeah, those are funny.
Yeah.
Very easy versions of those.
Two-page spread on the Chess Master from High Tech Expressions. I just like, what?
Good Lord, Game Tech.
Yeah.
That could have been intentionally included because people knew that families were going to theaters.
Yeah, maybe that's why. And then a spread for Game Boy and Tetris. I like this one. So first of all, a drawing of a TV and the NES with an arrow pointing to the Game Boy. I don't know what we're supposed to.
How can we explain what this Game Boy is all about?
Yeah. Because there were little tiny crappy TVs all over the place at the time. So yeah. they have to indicate that it's a whole NES in there. So cool.
Wow.
And go back to that ad, Tom. This is just an ad, a house ad for Nintendo Power. Page 20. I just love why. So they show this kid. His name is apparently Jeff Benson. He's 15. His hobbies are skateboarding and rock and roll. Favorite game, Super Mario Bros. 2. And his secret is Nintendo Power magazine. Why is his left eye all pixelated like that?
It's
just also being cool.
Why is that 15-year-old 25 years old?
I feel like we need to find this guy. If anybody knows Jeff Benson, please.
Is Jeff Benson Big Tony style?
Yeah.
Probably.
That's also my favorite issue of Nintendo Power.
To be a pro, you have to read
the DuckTales one.
The DuckTales one? Yeah.
Yep.
Clash of Demon Head, that was a rental for me. I think a game I found a little bit obtuse and hard to figure out. Yeah, couple sports games.
No idea how to play that one.
Mm-hmm.
Couple sports games, Goal and Hoops. I didn't play these, but I would have been impressed with the giant sprites. And then a game I definitely played, Shadowgate. Mm-hmm. And Shadowgate. I love, so Shadowgate was originally a PC game, ported to NES. So to illustrate this, they have a computer mouse and a red arrow pointing to the NES controller.
I love that.
And computer mice were not common in 1990.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That computer mouse looks a lot like a mouse.
Yeah, yeah.
It does.
Yeah, adorable. It's very Atari ST looking, too.
Stealth ATF, and I love how they show you how you can do a barrel roll with this, but the screens look so bad because it's just a big block of blue and a big block of brown covering up the whole screen. Yeah, this is how you do a barrel roll in Stealth
ATF. That's really funny.
That was an Activision game.
I really love the old Activision logo because it was designed to show that your console could show that many colors.
Yeah.
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 It's really, really classy.
Yep.
Remember Apple's logo that was like, when it was like that too? It was really
also, cool. Yeah. Yeah. Rainbows.
Fester's Quest, Marble Madness. I can't believe they're pushing Marble Madness on the NES in 1990.
It was pretty ubiquitous then. I remember playing it at school on Apple IIs. It was just kind of around everywhere.
Yeah.
Everything.
That's true. Two-bay spread on Super Mario Bros. 3. Of course, that's the wizard was a whole advertisement for that in the first place. And then Iron Sword, which is, I hope, obviously, Wizards and Warriors 2. But on this whole page, there's no mention of Wizards and Warriors. It even says, this is one sequel you won't want to miss. But it just never says what it's a sequel to.
A sequel to what?
Yeah.
But they mentioned Malkil, but just not nothing else.
Yeah. Malkil has returned.
Do you know that?
Kuros.
When the disgruntled Atari employees split off and formed Activision, they partially named their company to try to be listed in like phone books and directories ahead of Atari. And then Acclaim did the same thing to be listed ahead of Activision.
Yeah.
Two C's, yeah.
Look at that great boss under spell over there.
I know.
I love that boss.
I love that thing. Is it like a lava monster thing? I love
it. Yeah, and its face like moves around on the screen. This game's a little confusing compared to the first one because it's like a little bit open-ended, but I loved it. I owned it.
Cool. They did squeeze the classified information in here. We have a tip for Ninja Gaiden. Zelda 2, how to get like infinite experience. And where is it? In Palace 5.
And then that's fantastic.
Yeah. And then the right order to take on the bosses in Mega Man 2. That one's from
great.
Agent 317.
Is that the correct order?
Let me check out the order. I always do, you can switch two of these up. You can do Metal Man first.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would have done Metal Man.
Really good Metal Blades.
Yeah.
But Air Man is technically a pushover, but his level is really difficult. So, you know, you got some choices to make there.
Yeah. Abadox, Snake's Revenge, Super Off-Road, another arcade port. Double Dragon 2. The Power Glove. I have to read the copy on the Power Glove ad. Everything else is Child's Play. It says, the Power Glove. You plug it in like any joystick, but the similarity stops there because now you don't just guide the action, you're in the action. It's talking about stuff I've never heard of before. You actually knock out Mike Tyson, grab the steering wheel of Rad Racer. The Power Glove also gives you moves you've never had before and never will have with a joystick. Twist your wrist for an immediate headbutt in Double Dragon. Bend a finger for thrash mode. Your character turns and shoots in all possible directions. Bend another
in my game.
Yeah, one-shot turnaround. You automatically change direction and fire faster than you ever could with a joystick. What is this talking about?
It's all just made up, man.
Yeah, it's all just made up. That was
a Nintendo controller on your arm that you can't use. That's all it is.
Do you think they were planning to unlock those moves?
Don't think so. It came with a game designed for it that did some of this stuff. And there was a few others planned, and that's basically it, right?
There's also a Mattel.
It had a sensor. It had like a sensor bar on the television, and it could do this rudimentary, like triangulation sensing. But like, you had to build a game around that. If you just put in Punch Out only knows up, down, left, right, select, start, A, B. So it just has to do an analog of those.
Yeah. There's also a Mattel logo next to Power Glove, and I guess I didn't realize that they partnered with Nintendo on the manufacturing.
They made the thing, yeah.
And then finally,
and the person that worked on the Power Glove actually headed up the design of the Vectrex. Fans of the Vectrex might want to know.
Ooh, I'm a fan of the Vectrex.
Yep.
Vectrex is very cool. We end this issue with a great Pepsi ad. The Pepsi generation.
Oh, that's great.
Is in effect. So it's some college kids hanging out. You got someone playing keyboard on the floor. The drummer is there and has his sticks, but not his kit. Someone has a typewriter. Maybe they're working on some lyrics.
They're into rock and roll.
Their hobbies are rock and roll. And then above that, the guitar player is just perched on the mantle above the fireplace.
I do that every Friday.
Precariously.
I bet he just said the a-hole word.
That's a pretty cool like Fender Mustang he's playing too. I'm jealous.
These are definitely cool kids.
He's also left-handed. I'm not jealous of that.
This is the Pepsi generation. It's in full effect. Pocket Power, a handout that was given out to everyone who went to see The Wizard in theaters in 1990.
I can't believe you had that. That's one I completely missed. That's really fun to be able to see that.
I think a lot of it's
recycled from Nintendo Power, but it's a really cool to see that layout and like that iteration of it. That was great.
Yeah.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners, remember, you can always reach us at the email address gamescoop@IGN, just like Cody from Michigan did. Cody says, I would like to see Nintendo make direct sequels or follow-ups to some of their older, beloved games using the same art style. I would love to revisit Super Mario World with new levels and bosses, maybe even new power-ups. The space station from Metroid Prime, reimagined in the original Metroid graphics, would be a fun tie-in, or just bring back NES Remix. Even better, I think they could make sequels or level packs to drop right into Nintendo Switch Online alongside the original games. What do you all think, and which games would you like to see Nintendo revisit in their original glory?
I have a whole list, Damon.
Lay it on us.
I have a whole list. No, because there are certain things, like when absolutely not. When we got the Super NES Classic and we got to replay Star Fox for the first time outside the original Super NES, I was thinking, wouldn't it be lovely if that game actually ran at 60 frames per second and it was like super sharp polygons, but with that same like limited, like was it garrote shaded style and all that?
Yeah.
And like I've always wondered why they haven't done that. Like just use the old style and the old look and release new missions as part of Star Fox. I'd love to see them do that. And then there are a couple of, I feel like, have you guys ever played The Mummy D-Make?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it was Way Forward, right?
Yeah, it is Way Forward. Mm-hmm. And they did an Alien game around that same time too.
That's right. And like those games, they were actually way better than the 3D counterparts that were released alongside them. And like I always thought Nintendo could take something like, take Splatoon, right? Inherently, Splatoon is like rich with these moves where you spray paint on the ground and you can disappear and go underneath something or you can go up a wall. If they did like the sort of like Super Metroid look, but with all the powers from Splatoon, it'd be freaking awesome. And then finally, this one is just for Sam, is Donkey Kong is not done, man. 2D Donkey Kong has some of the coolest looking graphics and style and setup. And like, just, you know, I know we got a Game Boy game many, many years ago, but go back to the original like construction site and go higher. Let us scroll up and let me toss barrels at that Mario guy.
They did the Mario versus Donkey Kong games, which had similar puzzle mechanics and were really fun, but they immediately went to really bad 3D for them. They just were terrible.
Yeah, I was going to mention that Donkey Kong 94 as well. They haven't done that kind of a Donkey Kong game since then. I would like another one like that, or even another.
There is Mario vs. Donkey Kong.
Yes, yeah, similar, not exactly the same.
It's not another Donkey Kong Jr. would also be welcome. The top.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, one game that Nintendo does that does this in wonderful, glorious ways is Super Mario Maker, and I really like how they demake the Super Nintendo elements into what they would look like in Mario 3. And Mario 1, which is like two different eras by themselves. I think that's really cool. But I completely agree. Like, I really respect that there's huge... And by the way, Mario 3 on that we talked about on the show on the Game Boy has a bunch of Mario 3 levels. They're just in the new graphics, but you know that's worth checking out. Go ahead.
No, I feel like Mario, we kind of got a lot of 2D Mario. Obviously, yeah, I'm not a fan of the I'm not a fan of the new Super Mario Brothers art style either. And so Mario Maker kind of gave me that fix of like going back to the old tile sets. But like, you know, it would be NES Remix did a lot of cool stuff already. But like, what if they made Smash Brothers, but it's 2D? It's like true 2D using the original sprites of all the characters you're using, you know?
Well, really here's another example is Zero Mission came out way after Super Metroid, but it does look like Super Metroid. It is a pixel-based game, and Zero Mission is just, I think it's the best 2D Metroid. I like it a lot better than Super Metroid, so I think that's a good example. But then they obviously just made a really good 2D Metroid game in 3D. It has 3D elements to it and Dread, but like it would be most welcome to go back to that style. I think it's for a little while it was difficult to make games in that style, but now we have so many examples of indie games that are doing it. And so it's just like there's a pixelated game everywhere you look. And starting with Shovel Knight, you know, like we know people can get that look going. And so it would be really fun for Nintendo to use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the idea of a Nintendo of 2023 doing like, because what we're talking about here is like the Mega Man 9 treatment, right? Like, let's make something new, but that's very faithful to the old school. You know, I think the one that jumps to mind to me is like Punch-Out on the NES.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like the idea of a modern Punch-Out, like, you know, 15 new guys to knock out and go through the circuits is like so exciting and interesting to me. And even though this itch was scratched a lot by Mario Maker, I just think like Mario 3 and like that tile set and that physics engine and that specific flavor of Mario is like, I don't like it more than Mario World, but like Mario World is so revered and there's all these mod packs and, you know, Kaizo Mario ROM hacks and stuff that like Mario 3, I feel like doesn't get enough love. I'd love to see that come back.
Here's another one that's not NES is the Game Boy Zelda games, of which there are three, you know, including the Oracle games. So you have Link's Awakening and then two Oracle games, and they all use the same tile sets and looks, and they're wonderful. Like, it's such a good Zelda maker, basically, that you know that you have there. And I would, of course, would love to play more games in that little world.
There was a time where we got some classics, like if you remember Final Fantasy the After Years, right, where they went back to the original Final Fantasy, like
four got that
four tile set, which it wasn't the best game in the end, but like Nintendo really hasn't done much of that. We got Four Swords Adventures, kind of that game looked a little bit like Link to the Past, obviously, right, but like modernized and
people and like were pretty
lots of particles
what do we call them? Pix 3D8 pixels or whatever. I forget what the style is called. But the Octopath style, that's a start, right? Like, that's basically like an accepted, you know, engine that things can be made in new, which is exciting, or remade in, which is going on. They're both happening, so.
But
to a classic RPG would be really cool, man.
I mean, whatever gets Nintendo to do another Earthbound, right? Like, if they have to use the Super NES style for Earthbound to bring it back, let them do that.
Or Square to do Chrono Trigger. What better use of a Chrono Trigger sequel would be to use the Pixel HD?
Well, I was going to say,
just do it that
way. I was going to say, let Square Enix do an actual sequel to Mario RPG.
Super Mario,
RPG, and that game is like its own look. It's like its own thing, you know? Yeah. It doesn't look like anything else.
But do that with
it's
the 2DHD style? Animation.
Yeah.
That would be really good. I do have one more. My out there one is that I would love to see Nintendo release and sell on store shelves a new Game & Watch game.
Oh, cool, yeah. They did that with the giveaway remakes of Game & Watch games.
They
those were really, really great.
But I mean like general, sell it for like $30. Like, here's an actual like item that you can buy and collect. And I just think they'd sell so many. It'd be so popular.
It's pretty
Zelda
funny.
Ones are amazing. You know, they have the molds. Mm-hmm. They can do it.
Damon, when you first asked the question, I thought you were talking about like what kind of classic games, you know, would you like to see a sequel to that Nintendo hasn't taken care of? And it struck me that Nintendo's actually, for the longest time, they were really good at iterating on their franchises, right? Like, you got new Pilot Wings, F-Zeros, Zeldas, and all that. I think the one abandoned one was Mach Rider, right?
Well,
like Mach Rider just never came back, right?
Yeah, Urban Champion. Popeye. Mm-hmm. We never got a Popeye 2.
Yeah, it's licensed.
Balloon Fight has very light sequel attention.
They've
There's one Game Boy, right?
It's Game Boy. Yeah, yeah, they've done it. They've done a bunch there.
There's a Tingle one.
They even brought back Famicom Detective Club, but to a point,
right?
Like, and it feels like in the GameCube age, that's where they kind of hit that wall and they said, all right, let's try something different. And they obviously went with Mii characters and Wii Sports and all of that stuff afterwards.
You know what'd be great is for this project is Kid Icarus. There's a really good Kid Icarus on Game Boy called Of Myths and Monsters, where they kind of applied more of a Metroid to it, because the first Kid Icarus is linear, but really fun. And it has some cool like game looping issues to it. And then it has non-linear dungeons. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's a good pattern for a game that like shouldn't have gone to the creator of Smash Brothers. That didn't really make sense for Kid Icarus. Like, it should go to the people that are maybe handling Metroid now. But like, it'd be that game also like, doesn't need to look realistic or cartoony or anything, because it's like real dumb. It's like very silly characters in the world, but like it looks really cool in pixels, you know. It's like Greek mythology and pixels is really neat compared to, you know, seeing what they all look like in HD is not really fun.
You guys have hit on almost everything I was going to mention. The other thing is I would love to get a sequel to Super Mario Brothers 2.
Yeah,
just like it's the odd one out, but it's a great game in its own right, and it has like ideas and characters that we haven't really ever seen, you know, revisited since then.
Just Doki Doki Panic. It's just go to the source material and do a sequel to that. That'd be cool.
There's the Mario characters in there.
There's weird, like, the DNA of Mario. It's weird that, like, so Shy Guys are from here, right? Yeah. But now Shy Guys are mostly associated with the Yoshi games. They crossed over, so it's like, I don't know. Like,
and
the Birdo's creative
just a
process.
Mario Kart character now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at ninjas.
Ninjar.
Yeah, bring Bertobat, Wart, Mouser, Triclide, all those guys. I know it was a dream.
So good.
It was a
Wart
dream,
is
but
so
like,
great.
The setup could be this: the dream world. They need Mario's help again, so he has to go. He has to enter his dream again, re-enter his dream.
You think Wart will be in the movie?
No, I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so. But isn't it weird?
I'll be looking for him
when we were looking through the Pocket Power. So the Wizard and the new the original Super Mario Bros. Movie came out pretty close to each other. And we're both terrible. And so it took Nintendo another 30 years to get back into movie screens. And it seems like they did it right this time.
Yeah.
Okay. That brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Justin R. And he has a little story to share before we let the questioning begin. So Justin says, as a longtime listener, I've listened to Game Scoop while taking part in a wide variety of activities. I've appreciated your game insight, silly banter, and 20 questions, strategizing during cross-country drives, running marathons, backpacking trips, and numerous large house projects. As a general rule, if it's something that is going to take some time, Game Scoop provides excellent entertainment. There is, however, one exception to this rule. My wife and I recently decided that getting a vasectomy was right for our family. As my surgery date approached, she asked me what I was going to do during the procedure. My immediate reaction was to listen to Game Scoop, but I worried if I would taint my impression of the show, interesting choice of words, by linking it with a stressful event. She offered some good advice about not overthinking the situation, and I saved an episode for my surgery. On the day of my surgery, I arrived at the office expecting a Xanax for my nerves. However, I was supposed to pick up the pill from the pharmacy and they did not have the medicine available. In short, it was too late for that, but at least I had Game Scoop to help me get through the operation. As the procedure continued, it was clear I was in trouble. I started sweating and nearly reached the point of a panic attack. It was about this time that my surgeon noted how quiet the room was and he said he wished there was some music. I took out my headphones, let him know I could put some music on my phone, asked if he had any requests. His response was both surprising and 100% correct. He said, give me some hip-hop barbecue, and I obediently typed hip-hop barbecue into Spotify, making one of the best choices of my life. The juxtaposition of early 2000s hip-hop while having a man operate on my undercarriage was so silly that instead of focusing on what was going on, I just kept thinking about how dumb and ridiculous the whole situation was. This reached the height of absurdity when the surgeon said, hey buddy, check this out, and showed me the small part of my vast deference that he just cut out of me while Shaggy's It Wasn't Me played in the background. Shortly after this, the surgery was complete. In hindsight, I can honestly say that considering the circumstances, parts of that surgery were a pretty good time, all thanks to hip-hop barbecue.
I thought.
Ladies and gentlemen, GameScoop is not recommended during a procedure like a vasectomy. All other situations.
Well, maybe if you get your Xanax first, then
only if you have your Xanax.
I thought this was going to go in a different direction. I mean, first of all, I could not have predicted the direction this went into at all. But I thought we were going to get a nice like Game Scoop bomb for your balls kind of moment or something. But no.
Oh my gosh! Oh my goodness! Okay.
I want to commend the listener on
real mature Game Scoop
on taking a safe and easy option that takes the burden off of your partner in some situations. I think that's really cool of him. Thanks for writing and normalizing it, because it's okay to normalize optional surgeries like that. And good for you.
Agreed. Okay, with that behind us, let the questioning begin.
I got nothing. I've given up.
Should we just wrap up here?
The episode. Yeah.
Is it Iggy's wrecking balls? No, that was a
is
joke.
Is that a real game? Is that a real game?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it?
It's not bad. It's Jules Watcham made it. You know, he did Mutant Muds.
Yeah.
Back, I like that.
Back
game.
In the, it was an Iguana game. Same, you know, Turok. The course. Makers of Turok. Yeah.
Could this have been in that issue of that Nintendo thing that you showed
Pocket
us
Power?
Today?
No, it could not.
Okay. This is something much later. He immediately answered he didn't think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good hint. Is this from after 2000?
Yes.
The turn of the century?
Is this game on the Nintendo Switch?
Not at this time.
What does that mean?
We're getting this in three questions now. Pear, get in your mind palace. Tell us what's coming out on the Switch.
Well, it's not The Last of Us then.
maybe it's like a Game Boy game that is going to be coming or could be coming.
Oh, yeah, it's Donkey Kong 94 then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be. Mm-hmm. I just replayed that this year, by the way. It's great.
Nice.
It's
an
amazing game.
No.
Okay, was this originally released on a portable system?
No.
Aw.
There goes that whole theory. All right, so it's something that could come to Switch, which means it could be like the, you know, it could be the BS 16-bit years too. It doesn't have to be like a Nintendo game, like something from Nintendo's past. But
or it's the last Wii U game that has not been ported.
There's no such thing.
Maybe it's Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh, yeah, no, there's one Donkey Kong Country, that's right.
It could be Hogwarts Legacy. That's still upcoming for Switch.
Well, it's... Okay. Well, should we narrow down the...
Damon, is this something that's available on contemporary consoles but not on Switch yet?
Yes. That's fine.
Okay, so then that means it's not like a too old of a game.
Yes. I mean, if it's on contemporary machines, it could be a later re-release.
Is this a licensed game?
Yes.
Oh my God! It's sounding more and more like. Does this game involve magic?
Yes.
Is this the one about the little wizard boy?
No.
Well, or girl. Wait, what?
It's just a Parks and Rec joke.
Well, Hogwarts doesn't have the game. Doesn't have the little wizard boy. Remember,
yeah,
it's set. Set.
But it's fine. He answered it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. Now I'm so confused. What just happened? Does that mean it's not Hogwarts Legacy?
No, it means it is, because it's not about the little wizard.
Well, he's remember, he can't be trusted.
Yeah.
Hey, can you fly in a broom in this game?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, right. See, I knew it.
Uh-huh.
But magic is involved.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So this is a game that's available on other consoles, but not on the Switch yet, that has magic in it, and that's kind of all we know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we did just hear about something getting a delayed Switch release. Should we ask if this is an announced Switch release, or it's just an assumption?
Well, he can't answer that. You have to...
No, I know, but
we could ask, is this game planned and announced for the Switch?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Is this game planned and announced for the Switch?
Yes.
That's okay. Okay.
All right.
So okay.
Is it...
There was another game that was that was supposed to come to Switch and got delayed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what Sam was saying.
I know. I just was talking about this too. That's kind of irritating me.
I'm trying to remember.
It's not Gotham or Suicide Squad, right? There's not the WB games.
No, Suicide. Also, no magic in that one.
Well, I don't know. The DC universe is kind of like all magic users now. let's see. And it is based on a license.
Is that the upcoming Bayonetta game is an exclusive? So it's not on other consoles.
That's not it. Come on, there was a game that was that ran into some development trouble for the Switch version that got delayed. Why can't I think of it?
Is this based on a comic book series?
Yes.
Okay. So
I don't know, did Midnight Suns come out on the Switch?
Yeah, it's Midnight Suns.
It sounds like Midnight Suns. And there is, obviously, there are wizards in that universe.
Yeah, definitely. There's magic.
Is this game a Marvel license?
Yes.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Cool.
Okay.
We came about this a really roundabout way. I really like this one.
No, but you got it. That was the one.
Do it, Justin. You got
it. Is it Midnight Suns?
It is. Oh, Marvel's okay. Midnight Suns. Nicely job.
That was really roundabout. I like it.
Yeah, Doctor Strange is in it, so there's magic.
Yeah, yeah, no, that was clever. It's a wonderful game, by the way. Have you guys played it?
I have. No, I know I would like it. I just haven't played it.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's got that same sort of like, you know, like the Mario plus Rabbids games where you feel like, oh, it's strategy, it'll be slow paced, and it isn't. It's like very dynamic, very fun, lots of like big explosions, lots of clever use of the environment. You can toss people into all sorts of stuff. It's great. It is literally great, as our review says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll see how the Switch version runs. The game's strength is there's a kind of like an overworld exploration area, just like you have in like Fire Emblem games too. And that's not the game's strength and doesn't look that great on the existing consoles. But I'm worried that the Switch version.
Maybe they'll do it all with Miis.
Maybe they'll do it. How about make it? Just do a 2D map and let us walk around with little.
That'd
little
be so
Marvel
much better.
Sprites. Yeah, little sprites. Oh,
I'd be more into it then.
Yeah,
that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, Marvel.
Every time
in
the new Fire Emblem game in Engage, which I'm loving, every time they show the characters moving between scenes in a cutscene, they made little sprites for all of them, and they're running. And they look so cool. That like the adaptation to sprite form is fantastic.
Look, I think a lot of people would be mad, but it would be so cool if the town stuff and the after battle stuff was done in 2D. That'd be amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nicely job. Thank you for the suggestion, Justin R. We hope you're on the mend after your whole ordeal there. Viewers, listeners, if you have your own suggestions for 20 questions, email them to me at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. That is all the scoops that we have for you this week. Thank you, Pear. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, everyone working behind the scenes in both our LA and San Francisco studios to make this episode possible. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.